Welcome back to the Enduring Churches podcast. I'm Alan and I'm here with Trent, and we are so glad to be here with you today. I think you've kind of thawed out from some cold weather. I'm kind of thawed out today from some cold weather, so it's just a great day to be doing this.
It's wonderful. Today is going to be like almost 70 degrees here. I'm going to break out my swimsuit, you know.
Great. No, thank you for those images to start my day.
It burns. Oh, my gosh. That's for sure. Yeah, it's good.
Well, Trent, today we are going to be talking about really a painful subject for us, because if you've been in ministry and even in just in church life, it hurts sometimes, and it hurts when someone walks away from your church. It hurts when someone walks away from their faith, and it hurts when someone walks away from you personally. And you know, if you're in ministry long enough, those things are going to happen to you. If you're in a church long enough, you're going to watch this happen, and it's probably going to happen to you just as a person in general. And it's one of the most painful things we go through.
Mm-hmm. It's really true. And, you know, I remember, and I've had people tell me, it's nothing about you personally. And it's like, well, there's ministry and being a pastor or a leader in a church is nothing if it's not personal. And so you can't not take it personally. But there are some healthy ways that we want to talk today through this with you to help you to think, okay, how should I deal with this? How should I handle this? How can I continue to be encouraging? How can I continue maybe the relationship? That was one of the things I've had people over the years leave my ministry, and they have, you know, I tell my wife, they have taken themselves out of our pastorate. They have removed themselves. But I want to still continue to have a relationship so that I can still speak to them and encourage them. And so we want to talk through that a little bit today with everyone, Alan, and kind of explain, you know, maybe what some of the whys and how we can learn from these things too. So,
yeah, and I think that's a great place for us to begin, Trent, is if we begin with, it's important to know the why. And mm-hmm. And sadly, you don't always know the why. I mean, sometimes you get surprised by some conflict you didn't know was there, or some feelings you didn't know were there. But most of the time, you probably know, I have a good sense of why someone is leaving. And so let's talk about those a little bit. I mean, I think the first thing that comes to mind is conflict.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's the easy one. And sometimes it is conflict with you as the leader, the pastor, or the ministry leader. You know, maybe you're in charge of the children's ministry and there's something going on, and there's some conflict there, conflict of personalities or the way that things, each of you want things to happen. It can be with the pastor, but it's not always the pastor. I've learned over the years that there's, you know, I would automatically think, what have I done? Well, it may be nothing that I've done. It may be something totally with someone else in the church. And so, but we do need to realize that there can be conflict in church. I know it's hard to believe, but there can be conflict in a church.
Yeah, never. At least I've never truly experienced that. Right?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's true.
You know, sometimes people just move.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. They do. I know that you have people that move in and out just like we do, Alan, and different jobs happen, and it's kind of makes us sad, doesn't it?
Yeah, and what you see a lot of times, sadly, is that people move and then they just get disconnected from everything. They just kind of walk away from it. I don't know how many people I've encountered who say, well, yeah, I was really active in this church, and yeah, we just don't go anymore. We moved out here and we just kind of disconnected. And, you know, you just wonder, you know, what all have you walked away from, you know? And mm-hmm. that's, and I think, sadly, I think that's something that we're seeing a little bit more right now. I think a lot of people were kind of on the fence, you know, as the pandemic began. I think a lot of those have kind of gone off to the other side. I've seen some people come into it too, but I think we've seen a lot of the ones who were involved, but kind of casually involved. Mm-hmm. I think we've seen them kind of walk away, and you carry that burden, especially I think right now. You know, what's another reason that someone might kind of walk away from us?
Well, we have to keep in mind that just as we as pastors and leaders are called to a ministry, sometimes people in our church are called to a ministry as well. And they may be led by God to go to another church, to start a church, or God knows what the needs are of another place. And we belong to Him. Okay. And Alan and I, we were praying before we started recording this, that we would say yes to God, and that we would be willing to do whatever He asks us to do to glorify Him. And I really think that, you know, we sometimes think that that's just a pastor thing, but it's not. Every believer in Jesus Christ is supposed to be willing to go wherever He calls us. That's that old song, wherever He leads, I'll go, right?
Yeah, so what if someone, you know, that maybe they were on your worship team and they feel led to go lead worship in another church? Are they abandoning you? You know, maybe you don't have another keyboardist or guitarist or something like that, and your first thing is to be hurt that they just don't want to serve your church anymore. And it could be that God's at work calling them somewhere else. And so we have to recognize that God calls people to serve where He calls them to serve. And that's important for us to remember. Just the same with us. How many people have their feelings hurt when a pastor leaves a church because, you know, they thought that pastor was going to be there, you know, for the rest of their lives. And, you know, mm-hmm. It doesn't often work out that way. But leaving to serve is kind of a good reason to leave. I think there's also some really negative reasons as well.
Yeah, there are. And, you know, conflict is one of those negative reasons as well. But there's also when we let sin build up in our lives, we automatically, what Scripture says, we're hardening our hearts. We're callousing our hearts, and we're not able to hear what God wants us to be involved in. And so Satan's going to try to pull us away. Remember, he tells us in John 10:10, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And so he wants to destroy our church families just as much as he wants to destroy immediate families. So sin can, it can pull people away from our church families. Guilt, Satan's going to heap on that guilt. Here's another thing I hear people say, well, so this church is just judging me. Church people are just judging me when I come into this church building, and most of the time that is not the truth, but that is a feeling that Satan is trying to plant in your heart, that it's, you know, these people are just judging you, when in fact it may be godly guilt that he's trying to get you to see that there is a need for change. Anyway, those are a couple of things. Alan, can you think of anything else that
I think we can come back to just sometimes spiritual immaturity, that people mm-hmm. people don't recognize the importance of being connected to a church, and they decide, well, I don't need the church, and walk away. I mean, I think that was kind of a millennial's mindset with traditional church, and now they're wrestling, well, we're going to start our own churches, and then they start their own churches and realize they have the same problems that the traditional churches had, you know. So I think that at times there's a sense where spiritual immaturity can do this for us. None of us have created anything that's new, really, along the lines here. We just keep replaying the same songs. It was the same thing. You and I went through that very same thing in college. Well, we wouldn't do it this way. And then, you know, 20 years later, why did I do it that way? Or, you know, we look like the very things that we once rose up strong against, you know. And so that was our own spiritual immaturity at work in those matters.
That's really true, Alan. And so there's a lot of reasons that people leave churches. Some of them are God-led. Some of them are definitely not God-led. But people do come and go from churches. And so I think one of the things that we need to be reminded of today is that our church is dependent on God, not on people. God chooses to allow people to be part of the ministry. God chooses to allow people to be a family in a church, to encourage each other and to serve alongside each other. But we should never put so much of our faith in people that we lose our faith in God. He is our provider in our church.
And haven't we had a great reset for that thought? I mean, that's really what this whole year has been about. I still think that God knew what was going to happen in our churches. And I believe that he was kind of wanting a bit of a reset in our churches. I think in many ways we've kind of lost our priority, lost our focus on him, that it's been too big on our events and what we can do in our own strength and not relying on his strength. And that's important. But, you know, if we look at the loss of people and we look at these situations and we take our eyes off him, the hurt grows. I'm not going to tell you that it's not going to hurt anyway. that would be a lie, and it would go against our human nature, and we can't just totally push that aside. So yes, losing people stinks. It hurts. Even if it's a good reason, there's still a sting when you lose someone you counted on and someone you relied on. And so how do we move forward with that God-centered mindset? So we've got seven things here, and we'll try to go through them in a fairly quick order, but seven things I think that can really help us with this situation. And so the most important one, obviously, Trent, is what?
Well, I think we have to start with prayer. You know, going to God, telling him, being honest about our feelings, but also praying for that person that is left. God's word tells us that changes us when we pray for that person, and sometimes it changes them. And so it's important for us to pray for them and pray for their healing, especially if they've left because of sin. They seem to be walking away from their faith, and please start praying for them and don't give up praying for them.
Yeah, prayer is powerful. And I think we've all been reminded that the church should be a praying church. And I hope that, you know, all of us who are listening, pastor, lay member, any part of a church, that we are reorganizing ourselves to be a more prayerful people. I certainly hope that that's true. You know, Trent, I think it's also important, as much as we need to pray, we also need to acknowledge that grief is a part of the process. And so someone once told my daughters, let your feelings feel. And we need to acknowledge the feeling and the pain that's going on inside of us.
Yeah, if we just, you know, cover that up and try to say it's not real, I don't have to deal with this, then we really are just callousing our hearts, and we're maybe causing ourselves not to be able to feel God's leading in that. There's a lot of the Psalms, right, that are all pointed toward just hurting. And so we need to say, hey, that's real.
Yeah. Yeah. Smite my enemy. Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong part. Wrong approach. But that's right. I mean, I think that what God wants us to do is to just be honest with the hurt that's inside of us, mm-hmm. you know, and we need to remember that. But, you know, dealing with pain can also lead us, it leads us in one of two directions. It leads us to health, or it leads us toward bitterness. And we need to avoid those trappings of bitterness, because bitterness never makes us better, right?
That's right. It just makes us bitter and it makes us unhealthy. It develops a root of bitterness, is what the scripture says, in us, and causes us to be sick spiritually and emotionally. I think that you have to, you know, grieve that pain and even be honest with your church family about how that hurts. Because I think sometimes they think, oh, it's no big deal, nobody will miss me. But we talk about that, and then that helps us to overcome that bitterness, helps us to let go of some of those things and to keep from just saying, I don't want to deal with that person anymore. Think about it.
Yeah, we're going to kind of come back to some things that you should and shouldn't do in regards to that. But yes, that honesty and that vulnerability, I believe, is helpful, because if you're not vulnerable, again, you can hold the pain inside. You can also hold the bitterness inside, and bitterness is a seed that grows a lot uglier than we ever can imagine that it would grow. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to be careful about letting seeds of bitterness grow. And Trent, you and I have both been tempted in that area, and we both had had those little seeds that we've had to help help work through in life and ministry. Don't be surprised when you look back and say, I'm not really over that, you know, and that's that seed of bitterness that just keeps trying to work its way in there. You know, Trent, one of the most important things that you put in our note was that this is a great reminder that we are to rely on God in these times, and remember that oftentimes we want to put our faith in people, and you know, we all talk today about the importance of in God we trust on our currency. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I wonder sometimes if we talk about the currency of our churches being, well, in people or programs I trust. And we it's very easy to lose sight of what's really important. So why is relying on God here so important?
Well, again, he is our source. He is the one that that provides for our church. Instead of in the offering plate we trust, which is in turn leading to in people we trust. You can't be that way, because those people come and go again, and God sometimes leads others away. But we do need to be reminded, and this should be one of those things that, just like Elijah, he was, you know, he's just had this massive battle on top of the mountain against the prophets of Baal, and he's crying, God, I'm the only one that's standing up for you. And he's just crying and bitter. And God says, no, you're not. I've got 7,000 that I've got over here. So, you know, there's God is the one who is our provider. God is the one who has planted your church on purpose for a purpose, and he will use it according to his will.
Yes, and I think part of that is saying, God, this is yours, and every day, making it a practice every day, God, this is your church, and I'm just privileged to be a part of it. You do your work in it, and do your work in me, and that's mm-hmm. a great place for us to begin. You know, Trent, I think the next thing, we've talked about praying for them and for their healing, grieving the pain, avoiding the trappings of bitterness, relying on God. But this one is huge, and this can be hard, especially depending on how they're leaving and why they're leaving. And so the why kind of comes into play here. But let them go gracefully, not out of our own anger or the disappointment that we may have.
Yes, this is a great point. Makes me think about, we've had Norm Seeley, we interviewed him on our podcast, and I'd encourage you to go back and listen to that. But he was part of our church in Colorado, and then he and his family felt God's leading to go and serve as missionaries in India. And man, I was kind of like, God, I don't want to let him go, because Norm and I drove the bus together to pick up kids for Awanas, and we did a lot together. They were good friends. And so, but God had to work me through that to let them go gracefully. And the other part of that is, if they're going to serve, then send them out as missionaries. If a family is moving, say they're moving to a different town for because of a job, send them out, lay hands on them, pray over them, say, we are sending you out as missionaries from our church to go be a blessing to the new place you're in. It can be such an awesome celebration of the love that you have together, and encourages them as they go too.
Yeah, it's going to help them connect to somewhere else as well. We want them to connect. And so that, I believe that that's a truly important part of that. Now, not everyone leaves with that. You know, I mean, we all have the attitude sometimes, don't let the door hit you on the way out, you know. So we certainly have those too. But I think part of letting them go gracefully sometimes too is to recognize that sometimes people need to go, and that sometimes God needs to make some adjustments, but we cannot let them grow gracefully when we badmouth them and we keep bringing it up and we keep talking about it and all those kinds of things. Watch your words. Your words will tell you what's in your heart with it. You know, and so you, while you want to be vulnerable, you also don't want to be kind of ugly about it. You know, when I was a kid, and I don't know all the details, I don't really know all of it, but I was in a large church and there was some conflict with the pastor. And one night, 50 people, I think about that in my church, it'd be, but 50 people in our church, we ran about 2,000, but 50 people in our church got up and left, including some people who were prominent leaders in the church over conflict with the pastor. And I'll never forget, that pastor never said a word. I know it hurt. I know that couldn't have felt good, but he never badmouthed them. He never said a word. He kept going. And, they found places to serve and he continued to serve. And I don't know that it all brought glory to God, but I know that the aftermath was, wow, that's pretty big shoulders to do that. Mm-hmm. And I did. I mean, that's one of those little things. I don't know. I was probably 12, 13 at the time, maybe, I've never forgotten that he never did that. That was powerful in my life. And so let them go gracefully. Don't use their exit to show your wrath, because the people who are left they don't need to see that. And you're going to close the door to the next thing. Be open to a restoration.
Absolutely. And you can't preach effectively about forgiveness if you're not willing to exhibit it. I think that's such a good picture, Alan, that you shared. And it reminds me of my granny always said, sometimes there's blessed subtractions, right? And it allows your church to go through some questioning and say, hey, what do we need to work on that they wouldn't have otherwise? And then that, you know, we all grow from those hard things. We don't usually grow in the easy stuff. We grow in the hard things. And so we have to be willing to let those people go. And then there may be a time when someone comes back. And so we have to be open to a restoration of that relationship in the future. And if we burn the bridge so bad that there's nothing but charcoal left, it's awful hard to let them come back to us and without anger. And so we have to be able to leave a path for them to come back and to restore the fellowship.
Yes, and we have to leave that path. That's kind of our role. And, we could go back and look at our track records, and we've certainly tried to do that. We've probably failed in that at times. Again, we didn't have these podcasts. I didn't have someone talking into my ears often in those situations. A lot of times we've done ministry alone, and I'm so grateful that we're in a day where we can get more help and talk through things more to help us in these harder moments in ministry. And that's why we're here. We want to help you with those things. Well, the last thing that is an important reminder, Trent, is where we need to shift our focus to. So where do we begin? Kind of, it's easy to focus on who left, but where should our focus be?
Well, God, first of all, but then remember that God has left you as the shepherd of a flock. Not everyone has left, and those people that God has left you with in that flock need you. They need you to be encouragement. They need you to show them the reality that God is still with you and still going to use that church. So don't forget the people that you still have. Keep them in mind. Focus on them. Instead of spending all your waking hours and hours you shouldn't be awake thinking about those people who left, start working and thinking about those people that God has left for you. And so remind them.
They're on your team, you know. I mean, they are there. They're serving. They're working. They're showing up. Remember those. And I think that's also a call and a reminder of prayer. You know, I think that Paul says, "And pray for me," and pray for so and so. And he was always reminding the church, we need to be praying for people, to people as they go to and fro and as they're moving around and as they're serving. And you know, we are to be a praying church. And I get more and more convicted all the time that we just don't spend an adequate time in prayer as God's people. I don't spend adequate time in prayer as a believer in and of myself. I want to pray more. I've been working through a book by D.A. Carson on the prayers of Paul, and it's just been it's been an eye-opening book for me. It's been a very convicting book. I highly recommend that to folks to help sharpen up your prayer life a little bit. It's not really a how-to book. It's more of a why aren't you following the example type thing. And that's probably good for me. It kind of hits that coaching side of me, and I feel coached up in prayer through that book. But I think that's important, the aspect of prayer. So let's run through that list, Trent. There's pray for them in healing, grieve the pain, avoid the trappings of bitterness, rely on God, let them go gracefully, be open to a restoration, and shift your focus to those out beyond God, to those who are with you. So is there anything you want to add to that?
Well, I think that list, we hope, will be encouraging to you, because I think that sometimes we begin to think, well, we're the only church, the only pastor that's having to deal with this. And it's not true. It's a lie. Every church has to deal with this, don't we, Alan?
Yes, and it may not be every week, but it's often.
Yeah. And so don't let that get you down and think that you're just totally blowing it. Sure, we need to do some self-evaluation in the middle of that. If there's something that we know that we're doing, and if it's a conflict with us, that gives us a great opportunity to evaluate what we're doing. But we want you to know that this happens in all churches, and we want you to be encouraged. We want to be able to walk beside you. This is why Alan and I do Enduring Churches, not only our podcast, but our consultation, just being available to other guys to let you know that you're not alone in this deal. And we're with you. We've been down that road, got the t-shirt, got the hoodie, got the dadgum sweatsuit. We've been there. And so we just want you to know that we care about you, and to be encouraged. Keep going, keep plugging away, and keep praying. Just as Alan said, that is so huge to continue to pray. So Alan, how can people get in contact with us?
Yeah, so we've got our Facebook page, we've got our website. So those are enduringchurches.com, and you can find us on Facebook at Enduring Churches. You can certainly reach out to us via email, Alan@enduringchurches.com. Consulting, Trent at enduringchurches.consulting. We would love to hear from you. We want to know, give us a new topic, something that you'd like to hear us talk about, something that we can brainstorm and work through and struggle through. It might be a struggle that you're having, or it might even be something cool, an idea that you've had that you'd like us to talk through and share with others. We would love to be able to do that. But we are here to help you and your church endure. So anything that we can do to help, we want to come alongside you. That's why we're here. And so we thank you for your time, and we look forward to catching you next week. And we're going to be talking about some boundaries and issues with accountability next week. So that's going to be a great conversation. So we look forward to having you back with us in the Enduring Churches podcast.